Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for making time for us. So lots of you have really acted with quite a lot of anger and frustration looking at what is happening to your meters, particularly those who are prepaid customers of the city of Johannesburg, City Power, that is. Lots of you asking questions, you know, how does this thing work? You've been hearing complaints about surcharge of about 200 Rand per month and how it's already starting to affect you. So we decided to get City Power on the line just to explain clearly to everybody what this is about and how it's going to affect you going forward. Senior Manager Revenue Enhancement at City Power, Ngubane Mzizi, is on the line with us. Mr. Mzizi, thanks for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Kimela, and good evening to the kind listeners.
Mr. Mzizi, maybe let's explain first and foremost what brought this on, what necessitated the change in policy with regards to the surcharge.
So, Pimelo, what has been happening previously is that other customer categories, including in the domestic category, where the prepaid category is, have been contributing this fixed charge, that is the service charge and the network charge. So, basically, we've got four customer categories. That starts with the residential customers, agricultural customers, business or commercial customers, and then industrial customers, which we call LPUs or large power users.
Mm.
So those other categories have been contributing towards, have been contributing their share of the service and network charge. But prepaid had not been contributing throughout the years ever since we launched it in the early 2000s.
In the first place the case?
So the tariff was initially designed, Pimelo, to service the customers of our customers, maybe let me put it like that, who were at the lower end of the economic scale. So what we then saw is that there was a huge migration from customers who could also afford to contribute or who were on the conventional tariff where they were paying service charges. Then they as well started migrating to the prepaid tariff, which meant that there's a large number of customers then who stopped contributing to the service and network charges that they were paying on the other tariff categories.
Mm-hmm.
And with this huge migration, then we started losing those customers who are contributing to those two fees, which I can explain if you'd like for me to explain what they're used for.
No, but before that, I mean, wasn't that always the strategy of the city to move a lot more domestic customers, that category of customers anyway, to prepaid? Isn't that always what the city wanted to achieve?
Yes, that indeed was the intention when it was launched. But as I say, we saw then a migration of those who also did not necessarily qualify, who the tariff was not designed for, also moving over to prepaid. And then now we saw that we are now supplying those who are able and should be contributing the service and network charge, now started moving to prepaid. So we were servicing those who are indigent or those who mm-hmm. we had earmarked to benefit from that tariff. They are there, but then there are those as well who then took advantage of the tariff and migrated to it.
No, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm saying, wasn't, and I understand what you're saying, that, you know, this was obviously supposed to service the indigent kind of community customer, domestic customer, and that's fine. But I'm asking, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe clarify that for me. Wasn't the city always hoping to migrate all domestic customers to prepaid, not just indigent customers?
Well, we still kept both tariff categories open. So, yes, the idea of prepaid was that we'll be able to collect the cash up front. And, yes, the city did have that in mind at some point where we were hoping to transfer everyone to prepaid. But because we had not provided for the service and network fee, we see now that it has now, maybe dare I say, come back to catch up with us. And we're seeing that with the high number of domestic customers there and them not contributing, it's affecting our ability to provide service.
Well, aren't you able to, you know, technology is now quite advanced. Aren't you able to categorize these customers the same way you did when you started this this program to say, well, this is the band, indigent kind of customers. This is the band that can afford these charges. And actually, this is the band that anyway have been paying and should continue to pay. Aren't you able to still do that, even as they migrate to prepaid?
And that is what we have now done, and that's why the service charge is there, because we have now categorized them between those two. The indigent ones are still there, and they are the ones who will not pay the service fee based on their classification by the City of Johannesburg's ESP department. And then those who are the category that should be paying will be paying, and they are the ones that are now paying the 200 rand plus VAT.
Okay, let's stick with the indigent customer. How does that work? How do you know when a person is paying prepaid that they are indigent and they should not be paying, that the machine is not supposed to be debiting the 200 rand up front?
So the city does have a program in place where customers go to our walk-in centers and they register themselves as indigent. So the criteria to qualify as indigent is if you are a pensioner and a homeowner, and secondly, if you earn less than 6,000. So you come and renew your indigent status every 6 months, and in knowing that status, then we program it on the prepaid system that these are indigent for 6 months until they're renewed again. And the reason for making it 6 months is because statuses can change. Pensioners can, by natural attrition, cease to be alive, and I'm sorry to put it like that. And those who are 6,000 rand, their financial status could change. So if they earn above that, then they do not qualify for indigent. So that's the mechanism of put in place to classify.
But we also know that the city has not kept up with keeping up with that database of people who are indigent. There's a long backlog, you know that, of people who are still in the waiting list to be approved. So even as you wish, in a perfect world, to update this every 6 months, there are people who've been waiting for a long time, and they're still waiting to be approved as indigent families.
But look, I really don't want to comment much on that, because the maintenance of that is upheld by the municipality itself. But if I may maybe say this, that they are welcome to go to Tuso House, where the database of this is kept. I mean, we do hear quite a lot of such comments, but in all honesty, I know the system to be functioning pretty well. But for those cases, I won't say isolated, maybe they're in the most part, I wouldn't know. They do have the latitude to go to Tuso House, which is at 61 Jordan Street, and that shall be attended to, Pamela.
Okay. It is disheartening that you are unable to successfully respond to this question, because I'm not sure that, from what you're saying, if the program was initially always meant for indigent families, and now you have such a big bulk of people who've migrated to the system and are feeling this pinch, that it's enough to say we don't know whether the system is working or not, because you know the economy is not doing well. You've seen it yourselves at the city. People are struggling to pay and all of that. So, you know, you should be able to communicate between departments to see whether the need, how great the need is, and whether it's effective.
No, when I don't answer directly to your first question, I'm speaking about the inability of the system, or of people who you say are indigent of not being registered. I mean, that system is in place. So I'm just saying, if they have not been updated, they should attend to that, because as far as I know, the system is well functioning. I didn't want to point blankly say it is working and discard what you know as a concern. I'm just saying that it is functioning from my knowledge, and they should go there. But the system in and of itself, once we get to know that you are indigent, I can tell you, Pinelo, that we do not charge you a service fee. And the way in which we have programmed it, at the 30th of June, those who have been registered indigent and have been for a long time will not get charged a service fee.
Is the city considering to change, and I understand it's a political question, so I'm not asking you to answer the question in the sense that you agree or not agree, but maybe something to put forward. Isn't there maybe a platform within the city, particularly for someone like yourself who is looking at revenue and assessing all of this, that maybe the 6,000 rands need to be reviewed based on the fact that when you look at the cost of living right now, and you just realize that there are so many people who fall outside of that and are still struggling to pay. Also, when you look at your own data and the records of people who are able to keep up with payment. Or at least even recharging, you know, because you, I suppose your data would be able to tell you how much people are recharging with, and that should give you an indication just how many people are struggling.
I mean, to not answer it in a political sense, because I think social development might have that data, but and again, it would be very difficult for us to make deductions from customers' inabilities to pay to say that it is because they are earning less. Yes, of course, they are cash strapped. Yes, of course, the whole economy is depressed and people are struggling. That's no secret. I think even the middle class is struggling quite tremendously. So the review of that 6,000, I guess, I mean, as with all data where it should move with changes in economic conditions, and maybe 6,000 as was put then is now equal to 4,000 as the value of money decreases, I think there is an opportunity for it to be reviewed. So one could put it on the table, but it's not a decision that I could make.
Of course, no, not at all. Not a decision, of course, I understand that you can't make. So let's talk about how it works. Individual X has got 500 Rand. They put it into their prepaid machine on the 1st of August. We've just gone past the 1st of July. And what is actually naturally supposed to happen at that point? I put in 500 Rand at the beginning of the month. What is going to happen?
All right. So let's assume that that 500 is put in on the 1st of July.
Yes.
Because I just want to move as well to August. Okay. So the time that the system is implemented, 1st of July, you buy for 500. The system then in the background will then take this 200, take this 500, remove the service fee of 200 plus VAT, which makes it 230. Then the difference, 230, which is including the VAT, of course, the difference of the 270 with the VAT is removed. Then the units are then purchased or provided to the customer for that difference of 270 less VAT. So units for that are given. And then the next time you purchase, because you have paid your service fee of 200 Rand, you are then not going to pay for the rest of the month.
Mm.
Let's then make another scenario, Pimelo. If you were to buy less than 400, which has been set as a threshold, what the system will do is it will take half of what you have put in, put it towards the service fee, and then the other half give you units. The next time you buy, it's going to do the same. If you have a shortfall between what you would have contributed to your service fee in the month of July, and then we move into August, when you buy in August, the moment you buy, the system is configured to firstly take the difference of what you had not contributed in July, and then whatever that remains, it's going to do a split again of 50-50.
Why did you need to have this threshold of 400 Rand? Why is it that you did not configure the system in such a way that you can, exactly what you had done with the 400 Rand, that you can take pieces of this 200 Rand throughout the month?
Well, I think when we made the decision, we said what would be a reasonable amount to start at. I mean, it could have been any number, Pimelo. We could have said we start at 1,000, but how many customers start buying at 1,000? When we looked at our data, we said 400 Rand is a fair or a reasonable figure based on the purchase history that we see of our entire prepaid database. We could have easily started at 1,000, but not many people purchase 1,000 at a time. So we said at 400, it's a safe, above 400, it's a safe place for us to collect the service fee, because if we make it any larger, the service fee is going to accumulate and customers are going to struggle to pay it, and we might create even more problems for ourselves in the future.
But what I'm asking is, why is it necessary to take the entire 200 Rand at the same time? Even if you don't have the threshold, why can't you keep accumulating the 200 Rand over time, over the repurchasing of electricity throughout the month?
Yeah, no, so maybe I wasn't clear enough, or maybe you didn't understand quite well. So if you buy 399 rands or less, we don't take the entire 200. So we take half of what you would have.
I understand. I'm saying it irrespective of how much you're putting in. I'm asking why it's necessary for you to take the 200 rand up front.
So imagine if a person purchases for 1,005 and we said we'll take 100 Rand, and this person then uses that 1,005 over 2 or 3 months. That means this person is in arrears of 200 Rand for 2 months plus the 100 of the first month. How then are we going to make up for that?
You've got
to catch up.
Not really, because if you've got a balance If you've got a balance, and exactly to your point about what happens in the next month, if you've got a balance and you are sitting with money there in your kitty and you're not using it, clearly this person is not, because there's, in a way, the system favors those with money, but the system doesn't favor those people who don't have money. So if this person is sitting with gazillions in their account, of course then you can yank the 200 rand because it's sitting there anyway. But for those who don't have, if you took 10 rand at a time, it may stretch longer.
No, so the prepaid system doesn't keep the money. So when you purchase, when we give you a voucher, we can't go and draw any further from it. So the moment that we remove our service fee and we give you the voucher, the transaction is ended right there and then. The next time we'll interact is when you buy again. So it's not like we can go and reduce the units that you've already captured into your meter. So the moment that we give you a voucher, we wait upon you to come back and purchase again before we can take that fee. So it's not as though a person in the hypothetical example I made who's bought for 1,005 and takes 3 months to buy again, for an example, we can't go and reduce the units that are in their meter because that's already a done, gone and concluded transaction.
Okay.
So that idea is not practical.
Mr. Mzizi, let's yes. just say, for instance, I am a kind of user that earns, or maybe I'm a hawker and I make a particular amount of money. Maybe I recharge 50 rand at a time because that's all I can. I don't have the luxury of having big chunks of money at a time, but I do regularly recharge. Maybe I charge every 3 days, who knows, or every week. I'm saying, could the system not be in such a way that this person that recharges with 50 rands every time, that you guys can take 10 rand at a time rather than the big blow of 200 rand up front?
No. So if a person buys below that value of 400 rand, whenever they purchase, we only take half of every purchase they make. So the hawker of 50 rand, we will not take the entire 50 rand. They'll still give units for half of that 50 rand, and we take half that contributes towards the service charge.
Okay.
So with every purchase they buy, we'll take half of what they buy until we make up that full amount.
Oh, got you. I really appreciate you taking the time talking to us to explain it further. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. My name is Zizi, is a City Power Senior Manager at Revenue Enhancement. I want to take some voice notes coming through for you. Let's take those, take a listen to that. 086-000-0959 is also a number to dial if in case you want to engage with us.
Hello, Pimelo. Thank you very much for bringing City Power. What I wanted to find out is that are they not able to maybe divide this amount of 200 rands? Because I think it is a bit too much when you buy electricity for, let's say, 200 rands the first week, then, you know, you get a deduction or a service fee of 125 rands. How many units am I left with? It's not really a lot.
You know, this cabinet is, it's confusing because you're just putting people who haven't performed. That's why they were at 38%. These people are non-performers. But from what is Rolia Lebogang Maile, what has he done significantly for the people of Gauteng? Or because all he has ever been accused of is corruption. And that entire MEC ship, for lack of better words, I mean, how are they going to take us forward now? I mean, I'm really losing faith in Panyaza. I know what he stands for, kind of thing, but now he lost it for me.
Okay, so I hope we were able to get the answer from City Power, because that was exactly my concern as well. Why can't they take little pieces? It seems like that's what they're going to be doing for someone who is, I'm not supposed to give you advice, but what I'm hearing is that if you paid less than 400 rand, let's say 390, they cannot take 200 rand. They will take half of that. If you pay 50 rand, they will take half of the 50 rand. So you'll get half of the 50 rand's units. That's the sense I'm getting. But it has to be less than 400 rand. It has to be, let's say, 390, that kind of thing. If you're going to be paying more, if you're going to be paying 450, then they'll take 200 rand. You see this. So it's up to you to work out the system in such a way that if you're going to be under too much pressure, maybe your way of telling them that you're under pressure is to buy small chunks at a time. That's how I think I understand the system to be designed to. You pay less, buy for less, if you cannot afford for them to take the entire 200 rand at a time. So if you can't afford the 200 rand, then buy for 350. Then you are going to have to pay half. You're going to get half of the units. They'll deduct half, and then they'll deduct again the next time you buy. That's how sort of it works. But if you're going to buy for 450, they will take all of the 230, unfortunately, and then you'll be left with the balance. Makes sense, but doesn't make you happy, I'm sure.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.